Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, everyone. It's December 5th, our first Friday in this new month as we march forward, experiencing that Advent season, being very intentional. If you were tuned in for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard that talked about a little bit as we're marching into this month. So as we partner together through this radio ministry, hopefully we can keep you on track, listening to the God-honoring Christmas music and the various devotional thoughts and kind of those holiday specials. I love all the creative different vignettes that help us be mindful of the importance of the season. And it's not just about gift giving and zipping around and attending parties and festivities, or those of you that are thinking, oh, shoot, the year-end work has to be accomplished. Hopefully you can pause and enjoy the music and enjoy the programming here on Great News Radio. And Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends is archived because I think it was a delightful discussion about that Advent season and anticipating the Lord's arrival. Mark and Friends is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Now, I don't know how you're going to bring about the good news message in this book of Acts, how you're going to have the Christmas story revealed. We'll see what happens in Iconium.
Here. Always. We have a few gifts to give away here. We've got a couple of voice radio listener surveys here. First of all, Penny Thompson, who lives in Dewey, Illinois, she won a copy of The Five Love Languages for Children. I know Penny, and she's got some grandkids, so I'm sure she would love to know their love language beyond grilled cheese and chocolate candy. So that would be great. You know you love your children, but how can you show it so they really feel loved? So that would be a great book for Penny. And then we also have four, Homer and June Foster.
Jane puts down June, but known as Jane.
No, the top of the A is open, so I don't. I'm horrible at reading people's handwriting. Homer and Jane Foster, and they won Pulling Back the Shades, which is a Christian, really trying to right the ship, a Christian understanding about that series of books, 50 Shades of Grey. I was just actually, as you were opening, I was reading the back of this. It says, the spiritual woman has a legitimate desire that is seldom addressed, and the book of 50 Shades of Grey, which if we know that, it's a kind of an erotic book, is designed to exploit. So I really love this thought, and I've talked about it in many different places, where we have good things. Look, the expectancy of Christmas is a good thing, but the world wants to exploit it and send us shopping for things that'll try to have us have a happy holiday instead of a Merry Christmas. Eating is something that should be good. The Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good. Thanksgiving is supposed to be about tasting and seeing the wonderment with thanks what God is doing and has done. And yet we get ourselves oftentimes so full of food that we can't even think about God. We can't think about anything. I mean, we just kind of lay on the couch and football, and we kind of were passing out. And I learned that that's not because of the tryptophan. Somebody explained this to me. Actually, a doctor explained this to me the other day, that we don't get tired because of the turkey. That's not what gets us tired. What we get tired is that our body doesn't understand how to process so many different kinds of food at one time. That never do we have a meal where we have so many different varieties of food at one time, sweet and savory and complex and all this at one time.
And large quantities.
And large quantities. I think he actually was telling me that the human body really can effectively only, what did he say? It was like 2 tablespoons of stuffing that it effectively can really, for the meal, is what it can process. And so I was just kind of laughing because I was thinking, my gosh, I had way more than that in the stuffing realm, because I love stuffing. So what this book is really trying to right the ship on is the fact that God created sex and God created sexuality. And as a spiritual woman, there are some very God-created, God-honoring needs that the world is trying to exploit. And so that'll be great.
They filled out Voice Listener Radio Service.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what they have to say about it after they read it.
Yes.
So, the book of Acts. Well, I'm wondering what Paul has to say.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, pray us up. Pray us into this book. Thank you, God, for his inspired work. And I know many churches have like an Advent reading. I think you and your family are doing a special reading each and every day.
We read the Advent story. In fact, I don't know if it's going on, but if you are my friend on Facebook or if you're a member of our church who gets our church emails, we sent out an email yesterday, or you can look me up on Facebook. But Nancy Guthrie has a great devotional guide called Prepare Him, Let Us Prepare Him Room, something like that. But it was free yesterday to read on a digital device. So if you have Kindle, iPad, any of those Nook, any of those kinds of ways, smartphone, any way that you can read a book on an electronic device, that book was free through the one-click purchase process. So I sent that out to everybody and posted on my Facebook page, because what a great way to get a free Advent devotional reading to lead you for those 30 days into Christmas. So now my friend on Facebook, become my friend, become my acquaintance, I guess is more like what we would say, and you can click on that and get that book. But listen, all of God's Word is talking about either the coming of Christ, the Christ who has come, or looking back on the Christ who has come and the work that he has done. And that's what the book of Acts is doing. Is the book of Acts is giving us prompted and prodded by the living God. These disciples go out in fearless ways to proclaim the gospel. And the book of Acts could be a message for us, because you know what? The Bible doesn't see. I run across Christians all the time who tell me this. They say, well, my gift is not evangelism. And I said, well, that's not negotiable. Because everybody in the Bible is called to proclaim the gospel. And I'll even quote verses, and they'll say, yeah, but that verse says preach, and that's you, because you're the preacher. And I said, actually, the word preach there in Greek actually means to proclaim, or actually to herald, to go tell. And it was everybody's job to herald and to go tell in those days, because in those days they didn't have phones, they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have all those kinds of things. So when something was to happen, it would be carried through the village or through the town or through the countryside by people, common, everyday people. And so your job is to herald, to go, and to tell. I love it. We sing it with gusto, don't we, that Christmas song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And I'm wondering, will we really, like the disciples in Acts, like the apostles, will we really during this Christmas season go to the top of the mountain and tell about the majesty and wonder of Christ? Because to get to the top of the mountain, it takes a bit of work. You've got to climb. You've got to toil a bit. You've got to plan for it. There's work to get to the top of the mountain to tell about the coming of Christ.
It might be a little bit inconvenient.
Yeah, inconvenient. It's going to take some of your day to do it. It's going to do that. So that's what going and telling embodies, is that you lay aside your own affections, your own desires, the things that you believe to be important, and you put your desires and energy into what the Lord sees as important. It says in Luke 19 that he came to seek and save the lost. And so therefore, if you want a God-glorifying mission, that mission is the same mission that Jesus Christ himself came to do. And by the way, there is nothing that will produce joy in you like sharing the gospel with somebody and watching them come closer to Christ. Maybe you might not be the guy who, like, they accept Christ, but even just seeing the twinkle in their eyes, or seeing them begin to engage that conversation, or seeing them begin to understand as God unfolds. For some people, God has to do that very slowly because of the wounds and damage that's been done in their life. And for some people, it's like that, and God can just grab a hold of their hearts. But God knows better how this process works for each person. And our job is to be obedient, ready with the gospel. And so I just want to be about this season and every season after this, but really in this season, just to be armed with the gospel wherever I go. In fact, it's funny because I've been praying like that. And God continually opens the door. We finished church on Sunday morning, and my wife wasn't feeling good, and Samuel was there, and I just texted her, and I said, hey, if you're not feeling good, I can take the kids out and get some lunch. We got a present we need to buy for a child through Helping Hands, and so I can fill up the afternoon a bit, and you can get some extra sleep. She said, please. So we went to this Nero's Euros, brand new place that opened up over there by Bernard's. And it's my kids, so we look for cheap and a lot.
Yeah,
those are
the belly fill.
It's quantity, and the bill has to be low because they eat a lot. And so, you know, Jacob's at, like, he's like a 2-hamburger kid now. And so everywhere you go, you got to get him like 2 hamburgers. And in McDonald's, it's 2 double cheeseburgers. I'm like, where are you putting this? You know? God love it, because if I eat 2 of those, I'd be in another pant size. But we were going to Nero's Euros, and so we're heading towards a pizza place, because they have like an all-you-can-eat buffet thing, and kids love that. But I saw they had like 2 hot dogs, fries, and a drink for $4 or something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, man, 2 hot? That's 2 kids. We're there. We split the pop in 2 things. So we went and we got the food, and we were sitting down. By the way, they had this Euro plate thing I got, you know, which is like meat, and they give you tomatoes and onions and pita bread. And we still have, I got 2 of them, 1 for me and I brought 1 home to Tasha. We still have enough to feed like 2 more meals with it, at least. There's so much food. But we were in there, and we're all sitting down, and there was a gentleman who walked by, and he goes, "Hey, you guys go to church today? You guys have a good day at church?" Or, you know, I think because Jacob was dressed up. He's going through a suit phase, so he's wearing a suit.
Oh, yeah, I saw him in a tie.
I know.
Look good.
Every chance he gets now, he wants to wear this suit everywhere he goes. So he's going, we call it his suit phase. So, and he's talking about, like, what do you want for Christmas? I'd like a new tie. I'm like, what's wrong with you? A tie?
Yeah, yeah.
I think because Jacob was dressed up, and I was obviously, I had preaching clothes on, you know, for Sunday morning. And, you know, he said, "Well, what church do you guys," I said, "Well, I pastor a church." He goes, "Oh, really? What church do you pastor?" I said, "Community Evangelical Free Church in Route 47. He goes, "Oh, yeah, that's kind of like if I'm coming in, it's right into Muhammad, it's right there." He says, "Does it have a red roof?" I'm like, "Yeah, it has a red roof." He's like, "You know, I haven't been to church in a long time." And I said, "Well, brother, you know, Jesus wants to call you home today, man. He wants you to come to church." And it was just a great moment.
And he was the one that kind of initiated the conversation.
Well, he just asked. I mean, he was wiping down tables, and I think he was making small talk, you know. Okay. And it's a newer business. They just opened up this location. So I think they're really just trying to interact with people and just really trying to – they're doing it right, I think, is what I want to say. But, yeah, he kind of just initiated just by saying, "Hey, you guys come from church," because we were dressed up. And from there – I mean, I just said, "Well, actually, I pastor a church." And then he said, "What church?" And I told him he knew where the church was. And then I just kind of engaged him with the gospel. I didn't kind of. I did. I just said, "You know, Jesus wants to call you back to his church. Jesus wants you to attend. He loves you, but you need to hear that. You need to be in and amongst God's people who will love you." And he was like, "You know, I really would love to come to your church." So I handed him a card, and I said, "I'd love to see." And I said, "You know what? No pressure, though," I said, "but I just love to hear how you're doing." And I said, "You know, if that means I'll come back here and get another euro, or if that means, you know, twist my arm, if that means that, you know, I see you somewhere else." But I said, "I just love to see you." And I mean, God, so I just praying these things, and God just keeps opening doors. Mm-hmm. I mean, we keep having opportunities to share the gospel. And so that's what God does. And that's what the book of Acts is rife with. The book of Acts is rife with people who they pray a prayer and they ask God to open doors, and God opens doors. But what we do see is that it's not always easy. It's not always easy. And they say, "Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue," because that was what Paul had said that he was called to do, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, "and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed." Now, whenever you go into somewhere and a bunch of people start believing, a bunch of people start getting angry. But, there's always a but. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brothers." You know, I always think about this, that this is what happens. Whenever you proclaim Merry Christmas, you're going to get Happy Holidays. Because the unbelieving or the skeptics always want to rise up and challenge it. I mean, why do they want to challenge it? What is the point? I don't even understand, because if they think if they utter Merry Christmas, they'll somehow get saved. It's a much bigger story than just that. It's a much bigger God who's at work than just, if Merry Christmas could save you, Jesus Christ didn't have to come. But because Christ has come, Merry Christmas has an altogether different meaning and different power. But so the unbelievers stir up. Whenever you bring people closer to Christ, the unbelievers always stir up. By the way, when the unbeliever stirs up, that actually validates the power that Christ has. That actually validates the power of God, because there is something that has stirred them. There's something that caused them to bristle. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brothers." Poisoned by what? Something that obviously was anti to the gospel. "So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord." Now listen to this. I love it, because what happens? Paul and Barnabas, they go to Iconium. They go in there. They begin to preach. A bunch of Jews and a bunch of Gentiles begin to believe. The unbelievers stir up, get all irritated and mad. And then what do Paul and Barnabas do? Did they go, "Oh, I'm just starting to feel uncomfortable. Let's leave. Oh, I'm not sure if we should really be here. You know, maybe we should pray a little more if Iconium's really the place to share the gospel." No, in the midst of this persecution, in the midst of this kind of happy holidays, they don't kind of shrink back and shirk back. Instead, they do this. They remained for a long time. I love Paul and Barnabas, because they're like, "Oh, unbelievers, let's stay a while longer." Let's stay a little more. "And speaking what? Boldly for who? The Lord." Not for themselves. This is important, because I think that the problem we have with evangelism, the problem that we have, as I've been praying to God, because I would tell you, 3 years ago, I would say, I am not the best evangelist in my house when nobody's even home. I mean, I am just not. And so I've had to pray to God, like, "God, send me to the threshing floor and show me how to divide the wheat from the chaff. Show me, Lord, what this looks like. Help me to understand." And God has been doing that, doing a work in my life in terms of my understanding of evangelism and sharing what the gospel of this good news of Jesus is. And so,
and I like the fact speaking boldly for the Lord, not speaking boldly on our own or with our own wise and persuasive words.
Because I think that is the problem. I think that I go into a situation, I have gone into a situation, and preach the gospel in my own strength and with my own personality, and somebody didn't believe, and then I got all frustrated and I got my feelings hurt and all that because I thought they should have believed because, wow, I'm so darn effective. When what my job is to obediently proclaim the gospel, let God do what only God can do, and revel in the honor that I have of watching him move a heart. That's what I'm supposed to do. And so they proclaim boldly, as you said, Mark, in the Lord. So for the Lord. It's something for the Lord. It has nothing to do with Paul and Barnabas. It has to do with him and him alone, who bore witness to the word of his grace. Now, what does that mean, the witness of his grace? I talked about this on Sunday morning, that the gospel addresses the greatest need that man and women have, the greatest need that we have. Christianity is the only religion in the world that doesn't bring you beneath the yoke of a wrath of some little g god that you must live in fear of. Instead, Christianity brings you to this God who has wrath, but then provides for you the escape from wrath, which is in the person of Jesus Christ. Because the problem is not just sin. The problem is unrepentant and unforgiven sin. But God has made and provided for in himself a way, a propitiation, a substitutionary atonement, a way that he could become at one with you in atonement through his son Jesus Christ by you repenting of your sins and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so that's the word that Paul and Barnabas are preaching here. They're bearing witness to his word of grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, because whenever you preach the gospel, people become divided. That's why Jesus said, you're going to have to hate your mother and your father and your brother and your sister and all those kinds of people. You're going to have to hate them. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that you have to hate them. He was saying, you have to love me more. It was not a call to hate, but it was a call to love. And to love what? To love God more. It was interesting, at BSF the other night, we were talking about a passage in the Exodus which says that God's a jealous God. And a lot of the guys in the room were saying, I really have a problem with this idea that God's a jealous God. Because my idea of jealousy is envy, that somebody has something that I want. But when it says that God's a jealous God, it isn't that you have something, when you're worshiping another God, that you have something that God wants. You have something that God rightly deserves. Something that belongs to him. Because prior to Genesis chapter 3, you were created to worship God. You were created to give glory to him. And by the enemy, that was stolen. But it rightly belongs to God. So he's a jealous God, not because he's envious of what you're giving. It's because what you're giving rightly belongs to him. And so it says that the city was divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe. By the way, there's this group who says, you know what? We'll take care of them. We'll just kill them. You know why? Because this had been learned that this is what you do with people who proclaim the gospel, because this is what they did to the person who came as the embodiment of the gospel, the good news, the man Jesus Christ. And so they crucified him on a cross and thought, well, he's dead now. We've taken care of that. So the mode and the method for handling those who carry the gospel is just to get rid of them. Just to get rid of them. And so an attempt was made by the Jews and Gentiles with their rulers. So there was a complicity of those in authority to mistreat them and to stone them. But they learned of it. How'd they learn of it? Divine revelation. God cares for his people. God watches over his people. God leads and guides his people. This tells me something about Paul and Barnabas, that they were listening to the Holy Spirit. They were being guided by the Holy Spirit. They knew that there was a moment. Now, it doesn't give us a lot of details there. We don't know if maybe somebody who was also following the Lord Jesus Christ came and said to them, there's a plan afoot. But some way, God made it evident to them. And it says, so they fled to Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. Notice something. They left trouble behind. Okay? They left trouble behind. Because that trouble was going to destroy the integrity of the mission that they were called to do, which was to preach the gospel. But they never left the mission behind. Because everywhere they went, they continued to preach the gospel. But you might run across somebody tomorrow who's hard-hearted and who as you're sharing the gospel with them, they just don't want to hear the things of the Lord. Okay. It might be time for you to leave Iconium for a season and to go to Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding country and to continue to proclaim the gospel. Because God is preparing a people to hear his word, that word, the word of salvation. It says in 2 Peter that he desires that all should come to repentance and knowledge of him, that the Lord is not slow as we consider slow to be, but that he has this desire that all would come to know him. And what he's looking for, my friends, and this is kind of my army speech, what he's looking for is he's looking for a cadre of people who would look beyond their own frailties, their own human desires to be liked and to be needed, that you would look beyond all of those things, the frailties of your flesh, and you would look to the mission of God, which is to seek and save the lost, and you would rise up, and in boldness you would go out and you would proclaim the gospel of him who called you out of darkness, and that you would go to the fringes of darkness and you would proclaim that gospel. And you would do so because you have in this season an expectancy that God is better. That God is better than all things. He's better than anything that'll come in a stocking, anything that'll come underneath a tree. God is better, and he desires better for his people, and better is him. Better is him. I love that song that says, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere, because better is him. He defines what is good, and what is good is him. And the greatest thing you can do for somebody this season is to share with them this gospel message. And I shared at the very tail end of our show on Wednesday that it's just as easy as this. I'm so excited about Christmas. What are you excited about? What do you want to get? Well, it's not what I've gotten. It's what I've already received. Can I tell you about Jesus? And then begin to tell your story, because you may feel marginalized and you may feel on the edges and you may feel like you're unimportant. But I want to tell you, your story in Christ is important, because it was how Christ saved a sinner. What does Amazing Grace save? A wretch like me. I was lost, but now is found. And you have been found. And because you've been found, why don't you allow other people that same honor to be found, to be known, to know that they've always been known for all time, and that they will be known for all time eternally as they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing you can do. But just remember, And this has been so helpful to me. Passages like this have been so helpful to me as I've asked the Lord to grow me in my ability to share the gospel and to be bold with the gospel. Just remember. And this is funny, because when I was younger, in junior high school, I remember that somebody told me, they said, the people in your life who cause you trouble and turmoil, the people in your life who are a pain in the rear end, they're butts. So in junior high school, we had a teacher, and they would always say, don't be such a butt. Don't be such a butt. And it kind of made me giggle when I thought about that, because that's what happens in all these passages, that while you're being faithful, while you're being tenacious, while you're being zealous for the things of the Lord, there'll be a few butts in your life. Because every time something happens in the Bible, then it says, but this happens. Meaning, but there were some unbelievers, but the rulers and the Jews that rose up against them. There'll always be a few buts in your life.
B-U-T.
B-U-T. There'll always be a few buts in your life. But you know what? That doesn't matter, because you serve a greater power and a greater purpose, and you are in the presence of that power and purpose. His name is Jesus.
And I don't want people to wait 2 weeks, because I know on the 20th, the Singing Men of GNN will be putting on a presentation at the mall, and there's going to be some people available at a table that are going to be talking about how to have a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ.
It'll be me and some people. We're ready. I am so excited about it.
In fact, Holly caught your vision, because you wanted to testify and share and evangelize, and she goes, I want to sign up and be a part of what
Jason
hopes
to do. Oh, I ordered 48 Bibles. I ordered some stuff, we're going to have a class on that Thursday night beforehand to just equip people to be able to be bold but kind with the gospel. I don't want this kind of fundamentalist, no fun, beat you over the head evangelism. You told me, you said there's 500 or 700 people there. And this is what made me laugh, is that there's 500 or 700 people there. Where are they at? They're in the marketplace. By the way, where does Paul go preach the gospel? At the Agora, which in Greek means marketplace.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, oh, my gosh. And what does it say when he's at the Agora? He saw a sea of idols. I don't know about you, but when I look at the mall, there's a sea of idols. Yeah. I thought, oh, my gosh. You know, I'm not reading too much into it, but I'm like, this Lord wants us to do this.
I'll be on the 20th at noon at Marketplace Mall. The Singing Men of GNN are putting on a Christmas concert. You're all invited. More to say about that, and you can stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, and see it on our events calendar page. But on the 20th, there'll be some evangelism going on through song, through testimony, through sharing, and you're all invited. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and Christmas season.